To be honest, I have never tried bowling before, but I can say that I have heard a lot about it, and I can also say that I have always wanted to try it, okay? Now, if you're hearing the word bowling for the first time and do not know what it is, I think I can explain it to you from the limited understanding that I have, right? Bowling would be a game in which you take a huge ball, a coconut-sized ball, right? It doesn't look like a coconut. It is just the size of a coconut, right? And then you throw it down a huge track, vertically straight track. At the end of the track, there are around 10 bottles. They're not actually bottles. They look like bottles. That's the best that I can describe them, right? Placed in a triangle formation and they're white in color. And you try to knock as many of them as you can down. Okay, it's a game of accuracy of sorts, you know. It's like a very modern and, a pedestalized version of a game that you would play at a carnival of trying to knock something down, okay? Now, so as I said that I hadn't tried bowling before, but in today's episode, I share the story of how I accidentally ended up trying it, okay? So this story happened post-exams during my first year in my bachelor's degrees course during the summer vacation when I was in my rental home. And that should ring a bell because I made an episode recently about it. That's right, the downsizing one. So the timeline of when this happened, it's right around when that happened, okay? So I was sitting bored at home, you know, just in the summer vacations and the exams had ended. And I didn't want to sit in that home crowded with boxes, you know, and there was no place to sit properly, nothing to do. And you're just, sweating because of the summer. And I was like, I need to get out of this house and do something, you know. I want to do something with my friends, you know. Like after watching so much anime, and I was jealous of how these people in anime, you know, whenever the summer arc would be there, how they would go to the beach house, the beach, and, you know, insects, go to find insects, or, you know, any, the countless number of things that anime friends do, you know. So I was like, I need to make a plan with my friends in real life and hit them up. So I hit my friend up. His name was Austin, and Adrian wasn't my friend by that point, okay? This will make sense if you're catching up with my old episodes. But for now, I hit my friend up who was Austin, and I make plans with him. There was an amusement park near my house, and that amusement park had an arcade, right? Now, this again goes with an obsession I had with anime when I used to... I think I've watched one too many anime with that has an... section wherein the characters go inside an arcade and, you know, play games on the arcade and whatnot. And so I always idolized playing in an arcade, you know. Even though there are, you know, consoles right now that can play games in 8K 60fps, I still want to go to an arcade to play those retro games, you know. Anyways, so since I idolized playing arcade games and there was conveniently an amusement park near my house that had an entire arcade section in it, I thought this would be the perfect opportunity to try the arcade for the first time and, you know, ask my friend who I just recently made to join me on this trip. So I asked him about the plan and he's like, sure, you know, whatever. And then basically the plan is confirmed. And on the day of the plan, I reached the park before. And you will notice a common theme across future episodes as well, that I, for some reason, just happened to show up way too early for events. You know, that's like a bad thing about me. I just cannot show up late for some reason. Anyways, I reached the park before him. And I think I was like 15 to 30 minutes early before the destined time. And I shoot Adrian a call. Not Adrian, I meant Austin, okay? How can I get confused with my friends, you know? Anyways, so I call Austin and ask, where is he? And he's like, I haven't even left. So I knew that I could do two things. One is wait outside the park. Or two, purchase a ticket of the amusement park and go inside and walk around the park and then wait for him on the inside rather than just standing outside the gate. And so I ask with him on the phone and then he's like, yeah, sure, go head in and I'll join you. And so I cut the call, keep the phone in my pocket, walk through the ticket counter, purchase a ticket for myself and enter into the park. And by this point, I knew there was still 15 minutes until for him to arrive or at the time that we had planned to meet. And so I started walking around the park and looking at the rides and whatnot and what the park had to offer. And I first directly went to the arcade because on the arcade section of the park, because I because that was the plan, right? I wanted to see the arcade and play in the arcade. But when I walked to the place of the building where the arcade would be situated, what I found was a ton of bricks, cement, a broken building, lots of paint, and workers moving planks here and there. And I was like, this is where the arcade is supposed to be. Where is the arcade again? And I was like, no. And then I made a round of the entire park. You know, I walked in the premises of the four walls of the entire park. I saw every single building, but I did not see any other building with the arcade. And I was like, no, this can't be happening. And I asked one of the workers who was just walking nearby that what happened to the arcade? And he was like, the arcade is undergoing a renovation. And I was like, this can't be happening. Not on the day I make a plan, the arcade is going under a renovation, you know? Then I was like, I need to call up Austin and inform of this revelation that has happened or the update on the situation. And so I remove the phone from my pocket, open the phone, I click on his contact and call him. Phone rings, he picks up and I'm like, dude, you're not going to believe this. The arcade is getting renovated, okay? And then I also told him that when I was walking around the park, all the rides that, you know, what do you call them? The roller coaster, the dashing cars, the thing that falls from up to down, you know, whatever that thing is called, the drop or whatever. You know, basically all rides were non-functional, not running. And the park was empty. Nobody was in there. You know, it was like an abandoned park of sorts. And it was not well maintained. It was dirty. And you could say that this park had seen better days. And I don't know when those better days had been, but it was certainly not today, you know, or, you know, that day of the event. And so I was like, do not enter this park. Do not waste money on the park ticket. You know, like you're going to regret it. And I'm like, so don't come here. We cancel the plans. Go home. We'll do something else some other time. And by that point, he told me then that he was waiting outside the park at the junction at the road in the car with his parents. And he was like, he had already reached the place. And now he felt like it would be futile to go home after all that he had hyped it up and he made his parents drop him in the car almost in the outside of the park. So he didn't want to just go empty handed. After all, he had dressed up and, you know, come this far. So he said that he decided to improvise, right? He said that there was a mall nearby to the park which had an arcade, and along with that arcade there was bowling. So I was like, oh, interesting, bowling, huh? And I was like, okay, sure. And then I was like, yeah, let me ask my mom. And I cut the call, and then I pick up the phone and call my mom and ask her about this improvisational plan. You know, I tell her that, yeah, I wasted money on the park ticket and that the park is closed, you know. And my friend is suggesting that we go to the mall for trying bowling or something. So can I go, mom? And she's like, yeah, sure, son, whatever. And so I get the permission from my mom. I cut the call, pick up the phone, call Austin. I'm getting the name right this time, guys. I pick up the phone and call Austin. And I tell him that, dude, it is on, you know. So I'm like, I get out of the park, go to the junction. I find the car in which he is sitting. And after I get in, I realize that it's not just the father who is driving the car, but also the mother, who is sitting in the front seat as well, you know. And so it gets really awkward, you know, when you meet your friend's parents. And especially this was my first time meeting them. And I'm sitting in the back seat of their car with him, as in Austin. And so it was really awkward. I was like, do I say something, you know? You know, because, you know, there are some topics that the kids talk about that are, you know, vulgar, indecent, and explicit and mature. Whereas when the parents come in the same picture, especially if they're the parents of the same children, all of a sudden you become PG-13 or universal, you know? So all the, you know what I'm trying to say, the dynamic completely changes. And so he's trying his best, and I'll give him that credit for it, okay? He's like, so what's up, you know, and how are you and all that. He's trying to make small talk and trying to keep it natural. But no matter how much he tried, I was like, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, oh, okay. And I'm like so awkwardly giving him one word answers to his questions. And it was just awkward the entire ride, you know, the 10-15 minute ride to the closest mall to the park, which housed the bowling alley. Eventually, we reached the mall, which had the bowling alley, and their parents left us at the entrance of the mall, and his parents, Austin's parents, drive home, okay? And so we enter and we go up the mall to where the bowling alley was situated. And before you go to the bowling alley, you have to go through the arcade first. And so I go through the arcade, and here the arcade was much smaller and the selection wasn't that interesting personally to us. And neither did we have so much money that we could play all the games in the arcade 10 times over and do the bowling, right? We were on a budget, so we had to pick and choose what we wanted to do. We did not have the luxury of doing whatever we wanted and however we wanted. So we were like, we settled on. We thought that trying bowling was the best option. We could definitely get one round of bowling in, and we had enough money to just do one round. And we thought that we could try, we both had not tried bowling. So trying bowling would be our best bet. So we buy the ticket for bowling and we try bowling for the first time. So after we buy the ticket, we get 20 balls to roll, you know, on the track and whatnot. And so we decide that we would do 10 balls each. And we would do it alternatively, as in I would go first, then he would go, then I would go, etc. Okay, now there was in front of that, the place, you know, the activity is conducted. There is a rack where the balls are kept and they keep on coming. And so over there, I noticed that the balls are of different colors. And I always knew that mostly the balls are of different colors. And so I was like, yeah, this is fun. Like they must have colored it for different, you know, for aesthetic purposes, you know, to make it look attractive or entertaining. And I didn't think much. But later did I realize that when I was using the balls and throwing them, that different colored balls were heavy. Like the darker colored balls were heavier than the lighter colored balls. And I didn't really understand it, but that's just the way I interpreted it. That darker color would mean heavier and the lighter color would mean lighter of in the weight, in terms of weight. Okay. Now don't take this as a rule for how bowling balls are. Let me tell you ahead in the story what exactly happens, okay? Now, so the first 5 balls that I rolled from my hand onto the track to the things that are pins at the very end went all to the side, okay? And there are 2 little things on the side which, you know, if like there is the huge rectangle thing going down the center, you know, a wooden plank down to the end. And on the 2 sides of that wooden plank are things called as gutters, okay? G-U-T-T-E-R-S, if you want to call it. And so that's where basically the ball goes if you put it too much on the outside, okay? Now, okay, it's basically a semicircular cylinder to collect balls that are going outside the line. Now, as I explained to you at the very beginning of this episode that the objective of bowling is to use a ball to hit 10 bottles, you know, shape put in a triangle formation. Well, these 10 bottles are called pins, okay? And in my first tries, I didn't hit a single one, okay? So whenever I hit the ball on the ground trying to aim it at them, all my shots went into the gutter. It did not hit a single pin. Speaking about picking up a bowling ball itself, I would say it is felt weird because a bowling ball has 3 holes in it in a triangle formation. And so I think you have to put your index finger, middle finger and your thumb into the holes and pick up the ball. And so it just felt weird that because I was using this type of finger formation to lift up a heavy weight for the first time. And yeah, I mean, some balls, I would say bowling balls were so heavy that when I shook them, you know, to throw them towards the pins, it almost felt like my shoulder was about to dislocate, you know, like that's how heavy some of these things are. They're like a kettlebell weight. You could do a gymming session in a bowling alley, I swear. Okay. Now, there is also something to be said about how heavy these balls are, you know. They are not like your sponge balls or your ping pong balls or something light as that. Because every single time you threw a bowling ball from your hand onto the wooden plank, you know, to hit the pins at the end, it made a huge thud sound every single time. And if you're in a bowling alley or around a bowling alley, you will hear a lot of thuds every single time a bowler, or whatever you call a person bowling, you know, throws a ball from his hand. So it's safe to say that a bowling alley is a very noisy place. There was also a screen on top, a digital scoreboard, which kept track of the balls, you know, amount of balls you threw and the amount of pins you dropped, okay? And there was also this learning curve wherein after a few balls that you threw, you had to wait for a huge barricade to come down and restack one or two pins that you had dropped to make all the pins again. So if you had like 9 out of 10 pins and whatnot, it would again put one pin to make it a full triangle. And you cannot throw the ball amidst the restacking, you know, when the thing is blocking it, you cannot. And there was a huge learning curve to that, let me just say. And let me tell you one simple terminology in bowling. It is full strike. A full strike means when you throw a ball and it knocks down every single pin down the end. That is, all 10 pins knocked down means a full strike. Now, initially, as I said, all my bowling balls, when I threw them, all went in the gutter, my first five. But towards the end, as I got used to throwing the ball again and again and got a feel for the, you know, performing this activity, I think I realized that there was a learning curve to it and I got the feel of it. And I realized that my hand and the way I threw it had a natural spin to it, which made it go to off to the side instead of down the middle. And I can safely say that towards the very end, the closest I came to dropping, you know, the what is the maximum number of pins that I dropped throughout that session? I would say one of the balls that I rolled, I had dropped 9 pins, and that's the closest I could get to a full strike. The title says bowling is rigged, right? And I think I'm joking about it because it was a skill issue on my part, you know, because it requires a lot of learning to get good at the sport, game, or activity. You know, bowling feels like it's rigged because when you throw the ball at the very middle, trying to hit the pins, for some reason, all of a sudden, it's like, nope, psych, and then it just takes a left. You know, it's like a cartoon, and then it just goes into the gutter and does not hit a single pin and does not knock down anything. You absolutely feel like it's rigged. Like, and you, unless you play the sport, the game, you wouldn't relate with what I'm saying. In the end, if I had to summarize the game between me and Austin, after we had used up each of our 10 balls, it's safe to say that Austin was the one who took home the trophy. He dropped way more pins than me on average across his multiple of his throwing of his balls. Okay. So after we do have a bowling experience, we just have barely any money left. And so we buy a cold coffee and there was like a stall and a cart and whatnot in the mall. And we sit in the food court. And we're sipping the cold coffee and talking for hours, okay? We are discussing about gaming, movies, TV shows, anime, manga. And I think that this might be the very first time we had actually hung out in person outside college. So this was a very big deal for me personally. Because as an introvert, I had never met out with friends outside of the given establishment, you know? So if this was my school thing, I think all my school life... No, sorry. If that was my, with Austin, that was my college thing, right? So for my entire school life, I had never met with my school friends outside school. So that talks about the level of freedom and the personality that went into, my friendships. So after we talked for hours, we saw that it was getting dark, you know. Now we realized that we had come to the mall, to the bowling alley with the help of a car ride given to us generously and graciously by Austin's parents. But we later find out that his parents are busy and cannot come to pick us up. So we were on our own and we needed to get home. And we did not have the money to get home. Okay. And our home was 5 to 6 kilometers away from this place, the mall. And so I was like, okay, I guess no worries. There's only one way we are getting home today. And that is by good old fashioned walking. So I whoop out my GPS and find us a way home, you know. And so while I'm walking, I knew this was like a long 40, 50, 60 minute walk, and even longer perhaps. And so we walk and we're talking. And while we're doing that, what happens is that Austin begins to open up to me. I feel like he became vulnerable and he started sharing his crush stories and some of his betrayal stories. And I empathized with him. I really did. Now, what he shared in those stories is not mine to share, but what matters is that he got vulnerable with me, and I think we shared a deep bond, that he trusted me enough with that information of his past and his experiences, that he opened up to me. And now, while we were walking, another interesting thing happened. I got a notification on my phone, my phone in my pocket, beeped, like bzzz, and I had gotten a notification. And so I removed the phone out of the pocket and I opened I turned on my phone, and on the lock screen, I saw this text of a girl, and I was not expecting this girl to text me, but the fact that she did, you know what? I'll stop myself. I'll talk more about this girl in a future episode. She really deserves an episode, or if I say a series of her own. But for now, what happens is we get lost in walking. Not in the sense that in talking, I mean, we literally get lost. The GPS had messed us up and it led us to a dead end. We were supposed to be on a highway of sorts to cross, but it led us below the highway to like a dead alleyway or something. So I was like, this is not working out. And so after we get lost, we realize that there is a public park nearby. So we enter the park and we take a few rounds of the park, check the park for the first time, you know. It's a nice hobby to check out nearby public parks. After that, we exit the park and we somehow find a staircase that will lead us up to the highway that would again put us on path to our homes. So we climb up the staircase onto the highway and then we walk in the direction towards our home. And again, 20 minutes after walking on the highway, we stop by a general store of sorts, and then he buys cold drinks because we were sweaty as, you know, hell, and I was, you know, thirsty as hell as well. And so he treats me with cold drinks and I catch my breath. We both catch our breath and then we continue walking. Eventually, we arrive at my building. My building was closer to the destination than his was. And so after he drops me off at my building, he then catches a rickshaw and then he heads home. And then that's where the day ends, okay? And that is my bowling experience. Recently, though, I have to say that I tried bowling again after a couple of years. But this time, I went to the same place, but instead of my friends, I went with my family. You know, I got my parents to try bowling for the first time. And I can say that my mother performed mediocrely, but my dad was performing exceptionally. You know, he got better with each ball. His initial few balls definitely went directly into the gutter, but his later balls were knocking things left and right. And after a certain point, I think he had a full strike almost, you know. And then after my parents had their, you know, a duo game, then came my turn and I played with my little brother. And at this time, when I picked up the differently colored balls, I paid a little close attention to the ball itself, balls. And I noticed that there was a number written on the balls. And I noticed that the higher the number, you know, like 8 and as compared to a 5, you know, a higher number would mean a heavier ball. It had nothing to do with the color. Okay, that is what I'm trying to get at. The higher number on the ball is what would make it have a heavier weight than the color itself, if that makes sense. And after I realized this, I was like, okay, good. I at least knew this. I'm not going to spread misinformation if I were to ever make an episode on this. But I think this time I performed worse, you know. My forearms and fingers ached when I threw the ball, you know. It's like it was straining me so hard. And it was extremely puzzling to me as well, because this time I was working out as well, you know, like exercising and whatnot. Like I was fitter and healthier and, you know, heavier than I was last time, multiple years back when I did this. And I was still feeling more weak than I did it the first time. Like the irony. Anyways, let's just say that I lost yet once again. My little brother dropped way more pins than me in this game or that match. And let's just say that too many of my balls hit the gutter. I think I sucked even more this time than I did the last time. And I don't even know how it's possible to regress in this sport. I can say that I truly suck at bowling now. Regardless, I had a fun time and I think that everyone must try it once, you know, at least once with friends preferably. You know, bowling is Mr. Relatable approved. In case you didn't notice, this episode was the 150th episode of this podcast. I am super excited to hit this small milestone. Now, I want you guys to stay excited till next week while I bring you yet another interesting tale from my life. Until then, bye.